The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
A busy Bears offseason continues as we speak. Zach Zaidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller with you for the entire hour. Man, we have a lot to discuss on the six-year anniversary of that brought the Bears Jay Cutler. We'll get to that in a minute and what that trade has meant and what Cutler's presence with this team means in the future. But big news today, the Bears saying goodbye to 10-year veteran Roberto Garza, one of the last links to the Bears' last NFC title team, the 2006 team that went to Super Bowl 41. And Tom, you're a guy who played on the offensive line. You have great respect for the people who play on the offensive line. And anytime you mention Roberto Garza's name inside the Bears locker room to his teammates over the years and to people who have played the game, the first thing that they almost always say, what a pro.
Oh, no doubt about it. What a pro that was, committed to the game. When you're not giving a great chance coming out of college, and then you do have some knee injuries in the course, and then you can play offensive guard, but then you can be a great starting center. When you're talking about centers in Bears history, you know, it's going to be Hilgenberg and Fontenot and Olin Krutz and Roberto Garza all together, you know. And it's a great group of guys, and they performed at the position so well, so respectfully as the game changed. Whether you're running the ball for 35 attempts a game, or now you have to be a well-constructed offensive line and be in the right direction according to the pass protections in a seconds of notice. So I'll never say a bad thing about Roberto Garza. Love his preparation and love his professionalism the whole time he's been in the NFL, not only with the Bears, but he came from the Atlanta Falcons in the beginning of his career.
And Jim, the thing that stands out to me, you played alongside Olin Krutz. You knew how much of a respected leader this guy was inside Halas Hall and at Soldier Field. To be able to seamlessly replace one of the best centers in the history of the franchise, not an easy thing to do, both on the field and in the locker room as a leader.
No, it's tough. And you look at, at least the free agent market at the center position, it's been tough out there. You know, I think Stefan Wisniewski is out there from the Oakland Raiders. He's still not signed because he's coming off a shoulder surgery. I do think Roberto Garza will get picked up pretty quickly. You know, that is a durable, reliable player that you can count on. And so probably more in a backup role that he signed with his new team. And I think he is well-respected because guy packs a lunch and brings a flashlight to work every single day. And you could count on a guy like that. You know, now if you move it forward in signing Will Montgomery, formerly of the Denver Broncos, started out his career over there for the Washington Redskins, knows Adam Gase's his offense. And I think it's, again, another indicator about wanting to run the football, because Denver could mush the football and mushed it extremely well when Will Montgomery lined up at center for literally the last 8 weeks of the season when he was starting those games at center for the Denver Broncos.
You know, Jim, just to interject there about Will Montgomery, and you're talking about when you bring in a guy that's at the center position, you're talking about speeding up the entire learning process of the offensive line. If you would have to, you know, teach Roberto the information and then how it spills over to the right and left side of the offensive line, whether it's running the ball or throwing the ball, now Will Montgomery is familiar with everything. So immediately he's going to be able to help out both offensive guards every play, but every time the direction of the protection is called, it's going to be done correctly according to their plan. So, and not to say Roberto couldn't do it, I know he could, but again, now you're taking away that 2-3 months of learning from the center position and hand it off to a guy that's already completely familiar.
Jim, how much of an adjustment is it for a quarterback to learn to work with a new center?
I don't think it's that you know, it's that difficult. I mean, everybody is going to snap differently. You need to be on the same page in terms of what you're seeing of blitz pickups and what the center's seeing. I think already what Tom has touched on, Will Montgomery is already going to know how Adam Gase wants things called in terms of the line calls at the line of scrimmage. And he can help out what is still a young right guard in Kyle Long, young right side of the line. Let's just put it that way when you look at their experience. So, you know, I think he brings – you know, a lot of that detail, and as Tom said, it'll speed up the process and the learning curve of the offense as it's installed and distributed to all the players. But I think for Jay Cutler, it shouldn't be a big deal at all.
A busy day at Halas Hall for the Bears. They say goodbye to longtime center Roberto Garza and sign former Broncos center Will Montgomery today. Zach Zaidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Garza gives you a lot of leadership in that locker room, and that leadership is now gone. Now, they've brought in a bunch of new players, but when you look at the offensive side of the ball, and Tom, you know this roster very well, is Matt Forte now one of the guys that picks it up as a leader, given his stature with the team? Kyle Long, being a two-time Pro Bowl player now, is he now the leader of that offensive line alongside Jermon Bushrod?
Yeah, you know, Matt is a leader because of availability. He's there week in and week out doing what's ever asked of him, and then when it comes to training camp, he comes in great shape. And that's how you show leadership without having to say a lot. But when you talk about the vocal leadership, the enthusiasm, the excessive hand clapping and everything, Kyle Long is perfectly fit for it because then he goes out there and he plays a powerful, mean, nasty game. But if you need a spokesman with experience, I always think Jermon Bushrod is the bright spot in the locker room because he can say a message within the locker room that the young guys will listen to and the older guys should listen to. So I do think you still have great leadership on the offensive side of the ball, but I think ultimately it's going to be about competition and it's going to be a competitive training camp. So you know, sometimes that will define leadership and the way you go through the stages of a team with a new head coach.
Jim, since our last show, the Bears made a move on the defensive side of the ball that got a lot of publicity last week, and you can understand why. But they brought in a guy who was extremely talented on the field, but he brings a lot of baggage off of it. And I'm talking about the former San Francisco 49er, Ray McDonald, as a defensive lineman in this 3-4 scheme. What does he bring on the field? Let's start with that.
He's a good player and a solid player. It comes with, you know, good intel from Vic Fangio, the new defensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears. He knows that player very well, and it's low risk, low reward. You know, I know George McCaskey and the McCaskey family, when I saw the signing, I'm like, I wonder how that went over. And George sat down with Ray personally because he was never charged in either incident out there, and he's now technically suing the individual that he believed falsely accused him as well. So George wanted to sit down with him and get the inside story. And it had to be, you know, a legitimate story where it was for George McCaskey to sign off on it in the McCaskey family. So they felt comfortable. They'll move forward with it. It's low risk, high reward in terms of the contract. I think you see a lot of teams doing that when some guys have had some off-the-field issues. And, you know, to give a young man a second chance, and again, he was not charged in the talent level, that could be proved to be a great signing and bolsters a defense with a player who's got great knowledge in the system, how it's going to be taught, and somewhat speed the learning curve, as Tom just mentioned. Will Montgomery will do it on the offensive side of the ball. Now Ray McDonald can do it on the defensive side of the ball. That's a good football player.
And the Bears brought in a couple of linebackers, too, in Sam Acho, the former Cardinal, and Mason Foster, who was in Tampa Bay before joining the Bears. What do they bring to this 3-4 scheme?
Well, for Mason Foster, I can see him as a weak inside backer, a lot of speed. From his standpoint, Sam Acho is just a smart football player. Unfortunately for him, he's more of a strong outside guy, is how I would view him. He broke his leg, and so he's been working himself to get back on the field. Only 4 starts last year as an Arizona Cardinal. Good, smart football player, though. Unbelievable character off the field as well when you look at Sam Acho.
You know, one thing, too, this is an interesting group of 20-something-year-olds at the linebacker position. And whether you miss some time because of injury or maybe a guy like Jonathan Bostic, your potential hasn't been tapped yet. I think this is going to be one of the more interesting positions to pay attention to, not only through OTAs because you're going to be able to see the speed stand out, but as the season develops and gets into full pads, a fun position to watch early in training camp.
4 weeks to go until the first round of the NFL draft. When we come back, you know, you brought up a lot of interesting things about the defensive side of the ball, guys. So I'm going to start listing the defensive players that the Bears have under contract at the various positions. Where do these guys fit in, and what do you think the Bears are looking for in this draft to help these guys take it to the next level on the defensive side of the ball? We'll discuss next with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. We're here for the entire hour. Bears have been busy this offseason, especially on the defensive side of the ball, as they try to fix a defense that's allowed nearly 30 points a game over the last two seasons. And, you know, before the draft, the Bears clearly, Jim, have made it a point of emphasis to go out and sign, according to Ryan Pace, players that are hungry, low-risk players in terms of what it means for the salary cap, but guys who are looking to prolong their career and are going to get an opportunity to do something on the field for the Bears this season.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt they're getting younger, creating an environment that's very competitive. When you look at all these players added on defense, which was the weakness of the Bears, and let these guys compete and play it out. You know, right now, you know, you're talking about where guys fit and that still is yet to be determined, because like right now, if I were to look at the team, I could see Ego as a nose tackle. You could look at Ratliff and Will Sutton, those guys at five techniques. Even Jarvis Jenkins, who they recently signed, he would be a five technique. McDonald all fits there, so you've got a lot of competition going on the defensive line front. And then for the backer spot, that's where it's really going to get crazy. And I would say, hey, the Bears, they could be the numbers that they have now, some guys potentially could be traded if they don't let the competition play out. Because Pernell McPhee, to me, is a strong side outside backer. Willie Young and Lamar Houston, those guys aren't healthy, so Sam Acho can now be brought in to back up that spot or play the inside first strong side inside Mike spot, which John Bostic, I think, will get first crack at that. So you got depth there now. Mason Foster, as I mentioned, he would be a weak inside backer, and then you still got guys that you're trying to shake out their positions, whether it's Christian Jones and Shea McClellan. Jared Allen would be the weak outside linebacker for the pass rush ability. I think Shea McClellan could fill in there. And Christian Jones can compete and play pretty much all of those positions, in my opinion. Probably you'd look at him as strong, first inside Mike, and he could probably play inside Will if need to be too in a 3-4 defense. But a lot of competition, and you just wonder, could be setting themselves up to have some guys that potentially could be traded that bring some value in draft compensation.
Tom, one of the things I want to bring out, because we heard a lot of football terms there from Jim, and I just want you to help explain to some of the people who might be driving around that might not understand exactly what Jim refers to when he says five technique, or especially in this new defense, what defensive ends are compared to what outside linebackers are in this particular scheme.
Well, you know what, I mean, one thing that's good about going in this off season, there is no off-season comfort level. You can't say, boy, I had this so much in the past that I can just relax, because you are going to be reinvented no matter what you have done in the past with the Chicago Bears up until this point. In everything about this defense that used to begin with four down defensive linemen, that was a major emphasis of the success of the whole program, now the emphasis is going to be on three defensive linemen and the linebacker, the rotation of the different style of linebackers they'll play. So now you're going to need four great linebackers that run sideline to sideline, can take on offensive linemen, fullbacks, and H-backs in the hole, and they're going to have to be what the four-man defensive line used to be. The defensive line now will help them. But you got to be able to morph. You got to be able to move side to side on the defensive line. And you have to go from playing it against an offensive tackle and have the cleverness and length to be able to use that against an offensive guard on the inside, because you're going to be sliding. But really, Zach, it's more of, in the Bears' history, the emphasis being on the four defensive linemen. Now the emphasis will be on the defensive linemen, but the high profile of this defense will be the linebackers in this system. And if you look at the history of Coach Fangio, he's created some of the best team of linebackers in the history of the NFL, and that's what makes it exciting for the development of this position, is they do have some guys that are should be really hungry to have a successful future of their career, whether they're guys that are here or guys they brought in since.
Well, think about it. I didn't even name some of the names. What do they do now with Cornelius Washington? David Bass, Austin Lane.
Is Cornelius Washington, is he a defensive end or is he a linebacker in this system?
I think he'd be a linebacker in this system. And they probably, you know, put him out there to compete at one of the spots. Or, like I said, the numbers are there now. You just wonder if they're setting themselves up to be able to get some package in a trade. Because some people, when Cornelius Washington came out, when he came out of Georgia, because he had such crazy measurables, a lot of people wanted to see him. Hey, is he a 3-4 outside backer? Is he a 4-3 defensive end? Would a team have value for him right now to trade for him where the Bears could get draft picks? What about David Bass? What about Austin Lane? I mean, think about the numbers that the Bears have right now. So, and it's not all, you know, it's we can sit here and say, you know, 3-4. Vic Fangio's going to dabble in some hybrids too. I believe that because they've got guys who can create versatility, because we already talked about Pernell McPhee and what he did as a Baltimore Raven. That guy lined up everywhere. Now, say in a third down situation, say if Vic Fangio wants to go a NASCAR package and put Pernell McPhee almost like a roving backer and move him all over the place, you would still bring in another pass rusher and have four guys just getting after it, even though it's technically a 3-4 defense, but it'd be more of a hybrid.
You know, then you go back, why is Will Montgomery so important to the future of this team? Is because when you have to make all those adjustments from the very first day when you're on field, the center position and the familiarity with the offense is going to be one of the key ingredients to expediting the whole comfort level up for the blocking schemes, because you can change the front of this defensive so quickly from you know one spot and put emphasis on a totally different spot.
Because the big difference between a 3-4 and a 4-3 is that you have no idea where the rush is going to come from, especially on third down. You knew that in a 4-3, it's coming from the edge, those defensive ends. Very different. You're playing with the heads of both the center and the quarterback when you run a 3-4. But in order to have it be effective, you need to have trust when it comes to your secondary, because a lot of times those corners are going to be on an island, and it is clear that they have a lot of confidence in Kyle Fuller, if he can stay healthy, to be one of their standout corners. The question is, right now, when you look at the roster, who's the guy on the other side of Kyle Fuller? You know, Tim Jennings was considered a cover two corner. Does he slide inside? Is he more of a nickelback in this scheme? They signed the former Jaguar, Alan Ball. They've got Al Lewis Jean, who saw some time last season. But, Jim, when you look at the Bears cornerbacks, how do they go forward with what they've got on the roster right now?
Well, if he's going to play an aggressive style of defense, and like you said, the 3-4 does offer you more flexibility in terms of cross-dog blitzes and things like that, that you can just combinations of blitzes, and you need your corners to play man-to-man. And who's the best bump corner coming out in the draft? It's Trey Waynes from Michigan State. That's all they did at Michigan State. A lot of blitz zones, bump man-to-man on the outside, and that kid did it, and he blew it out of the gym in terms of his pro day workout and his combine. So let's say if hypothetically something like that happened, I do like you know the signings of Alan Ball and L. Lewis Jean, I think, is a young up-and-comer, so you got depth there. But you could kick Tim Jennings inside to the nickel that you just mentioned. Kyle Fuller I still think is going to be a stud. And then you'd have Trey Waynes, the rookie, starting on the outside. That's a pretty good corner group right there.
And, Tom, as we head to the break, you know, the Bears, they let go of Anthony Walters today at the safety position. They only have three safeties under contract as we speak. Ryan Mundy, Antrell Roll, the likely starters, and then you've got the young one, Brock Vereen, the second-year player out of Minnesota.
You know, one of the best special team tackling players the last couple of years, Ben McManus, 6'1", 193. Why don't you dabble in to see if he has a willingness to stick his nose up close to the line of scrimmage. In the cornerback position, it's like Lewis Jean. You know, he's listed at 6'1". you know, I'm always interested in the guys that provide me a little bit of size to see if they can play up to this size at that position.
Coming up next, we'll get the quarterback's take on the quarterback. 6 years after the Bears trade for Jay Cutler, we'll get Jim Miller's thoughts on where he is now in his professional career and what he has to do going forward in this new offense in order to get the Bears where they need to go. Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer, Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ready, set, shuffle. Registration is now open for the Super Bear Shuffle 5K run on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Learn more and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. Zach Zaidman alongside championship Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, who also has a ring from his days in New England. We're with you until the top of the hour. A lot of Bears football to talk about. Plus, in about 10 minutes, guys, we're going to play Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. You go rapid fire asking questions in regards to the world of football. Anything's fair game to Tom Thayer while Judge Jim Miller sits back, listens. And at the end of the segment, Jim will pick a winner. Best caller of the segment gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. It's a lot of fun, and we'll do that coming up in 10 minutes. Now, guys, today is the six-year anniversary when the Bears pulled off that monster trade with the Denver Broncos to acquire Jay Cutler. And, you know, when you look at Cutler's legacy over the last 6 years, it's kind of incomplete because there have been so many different changes in regards to the offensive philosophy of this team. And once again, as he heads into another season with the Bears, there's a new offense that's being put in place. Jim, how challenging is that, even for a veteran quarterback at this stage of his career?
Well, it's not easy. I mean, I think we knew how hesitant, say, Brett Favre was when he was traded to the Jets to learn a new offense. I mean, it's difficult to do. Can you teach an old dog new tricks? But, you know, Peyton Manning's going through it this year. Out in Denver. He's learning a whole new offense, the Gary Kubiak system now, and he's an older quarterback. It's never easy to do. It's never good on young quarterbacks. It stunts their growth, and you can never maximize when you're constantly switching systems and what you're asking a quarterback to do, to just scrap one way to read things and introduce a whole new way of doing things. So it has not been easy on Jay, but regardless of all that, it is what it is. You got to roll with the punches. I think you've seen extreme highs from Jay Cutler when he's played extremely well, like taking the Bears to the NFC Championship game in 2010. And obviously last year, in most recent memory, we've seen extreme lows from Jay Cutler in terms of the turnovers and the poor performance. So he's capable of playing at a high level, and that's really John Fox's nut that he has to crack to get the consistency that is required from the position to win in the NFL.
You know, Zach, you said it at the beginning, though. It is incomplete. You can't put a final grade. You can't, you know, put the ultimate decision at this point. Because when you look, if systems are built around a system or systems are built around a player, maybe since the inception of Adam Gase getting here, it's an opportunity to kind of investigate what the Bears' strengths are as a team and incorporate them as a team. When it's a quarterback-specific driven system like Coach Trestman, sometimes when all the pieces don't fall into place, nobody really looks good at it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens in 9 months or 6 months, and then 9 months, and then a year from now.
Jim, when you look at what the Bears have been, what Jay Cutler has been, and what he can do going forward to be a better quarterback, just himself. Obviously, you need help from your teammates. You need a good offensive line. I think you need balance from an offensive standpoint, which clearly wasn't the case last season. But when he's scouting himself, because this is something you had to go through every offseason, what do you think are the things that Jay Cutler is working on this offseason to make sure he gets better next year and maximizes his ability?
Well, I would think, you know, every quarterback, you should have a checklist that you go through when, you know, you go through the year-end review and you watch every game and say, you know, I need to correct my footwork. I need to correct my turnovers, say, on certain plays where I'm not maybe reading things correctly. I mean, the turnovers, case in point number one, those have to go down, period. You can't win with turnovers. We already know that's the most telling statistic in the National Football League, and clearly from last year, that's an area that he needs to get better at. And I think Coach John Fox has talked about it as well. Bears got to play better complementary football. You know, got to play better on defense. And for the quarterback position specifically, execute the offense to the letter of the law. If you just do that, you're going to line up every week and have an opportunity. So I'm excited from that standpoint, and I think that's what John Fox has in place for the Chicago Bears, and it's going to be competitive now. You know, it's not about hurting anybody's feelings. That John Fox has been very quick to point out to turn the Bears organization around and putting wins on the board. Nobody cared about John Fox's feelings when he was fired from the Carolina Panthers, even though he took that team to the Super Bowl. Nobody cared about John Fox's feelings when he was fired and relieved of his duties in Denver, even though he took that team to four postseason appearances and a Super Bowl. It's not about feelings. It's about winning. And that is going to be, I think it's already been, that precedent has been set, and that mission statement has been laid out there by John Fox, and now the players have to respond.
You know, I think that's pretty, it's definitely evident by the amount of defensive talent that they're bringing in here to compete with the talent that's already here. And so we can minimize it by talking about the quarterback position, but like Jim says, this is the entire team that's going to go through a competitive process that they haven't been through in a couple of years. So it'll change the dynamic and control the dynamic of every position out there. And you're going to see some guys really flourish given the opportunity here. And you will see some guys that, because of their age, because of the way the atmosphere maybe has been in the last couple of years in terms of the competitiveness of training camp, it's going to open some eyes this year.
But the reality, guys, is that when you look at the landscape of the NFL, there aren't 32 starter quality quarterbacks in the league. I don't think I'm crazy in saying that. The Bears have a guy that's got a lot of talent in Jay Cutler. He has been able to lead this team to an NFC championship game. We've seen that in the past. We've seen him play at a very high level when I think there's been balance, when there's been that true commitment to try and get it as close to 50-50 with the run and the pass. I think the other thing that Jim mentioned, which is so key and clearly a difficult thing to do for a lot of quarterbacks, is to allow yourself to have trust in the framework of the offense. Why is that so difficult for quarterbacks to have?
Well, one, you have to be disciplined to do that. And you're right, you do have to trust it. And you've got to be able to tell yourself, you know, when you talk through a game, if you're a quarterback and you're out there and you're the quote-unquote manager of the game, you've got to play the percentages. You've got to think the game as the game unfolds. And I bring it up all the time in terms of situational play, meaning, hey, if we're down inside a 30-yard line, I'm going to be happy taking the 3 points here. Maybe fans don't like to hear you talk like that, but minimum, say, before we go in at halftime, we need to have 3 points on the board, minimum, instead of making a costly decision where you take yourself out of field goal range with a sack or things like that. So you've got to think that way as a quarterback, and I think that can improve from Jay Cutler as well in terms of the situational play.
We are moments away from playing Ask Tom at 312-644-6767. At stake, a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Best caller in our next segment gets that gift certificate courtesy of Jim Miller. But Jim, as we hit the break, Jacquizz Rodgers, what do we know about him? He's one of the new running backs that the Bears signed this week.
A lot of receptions. This guy can come for diminutive in stature. He's a better blocker than advertised, but I think 155 receptions he's had when you think about him for the Atlanta Falcons. A player that Ryan Pace, the general manager, will know well from his days in New Orleans, lining up against Jacquizz Rodgers. So a lot of speed, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Hey, Zach,
does
kickoff return average even matter anymore? Because when you look at a player like that, he may be small and he has some numbers on kickoff return, but because they're all kicked out of the end zone, is that one of the selling points of a guy anymore?
I don't think so, but you have to have, it was an issue for the Bears last year, was it not?
It might have been the blocking up front, not necessarily the catcher.
When we come back, we play Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Rapid-fire phone calls with questions about the world of football for Tom Thayer. And the best caller of the segment gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. That's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. It is time to play Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We go rapid fire with your phone calls. At the end of the segment, Jim Miller will pick a winner. The best caller with the best question for Tom Thayer gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. You guys ready?
Ooh, a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
All right, let's start the festivities in Midway. Robert, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, hi there. My question was, because last year we actually got rid of our fullback, Tony Fiametta, and I heard John Fox saying that in order to have a good run game, or in order to have success, you need to have a good run game and a good defense. So my question was, in the draft, would there be a fullback to draft or to sign in free agency to make that power run game happen with Matt Forte?
You know, that's a good question, because I think right now, is there pure fullbacks out there that would get drafted high? I don't think so. Is there a guy out there that's playing tight end that can give you multiple responsibility for maybe being a point of attack tight end to a movable H-back fullback type of role? And that's the curious thing about the fullback. If you are one-dimensional and that's all you give them, you better be a one heck of a special teams player and part of your secondary contributions. But when you're going through the evaluation process, the scouts are looking for tight ends that are multidimensional. But if there's a unique fullback out there, he'll either get drafted late or definitely get into a camp on a free agent or an opportunity that way.
312-644-6767. Ask Tom Rolls on Southside. John, you're on Bears All Access.
Good evening, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Listen, my question is this. Since the end of last season, there's been a huge amount of flux and turnover from the GM down to the head coaches. And this end of the season, it really seemed like we were positioning ourselves as fans to prepare for a nice long wait, 2-3 seasons before we were competitive again. Then you bring in Ryan Pace and John Fox, this incredible coaching staff, defensive and offensive coordinators. All of these moves were made. Well, now, including the player personnel moves, it seems like these guys are positioning us to possibly be competitive next season. So my question is this, is twofold. Do you believe that the moves that they've made, particularly with the player personnel moves, are meant to put us in a position to be competitive this coming season? And also, help me understand or believe that we can still be a competitive team, particularly this season, with Jay Cutler as our quarterback. Not bashing him, but he has a track record that really kind of makes you doubt that. Can we do that with him still at the helm of this team?
You know, John Fox's past experience are going to help Bears get there the quickest. And if they come out and capitalize on the defensive expertise of Vic Fangio, they do have that ability. They're going to have to find a scheme that somehow slows down Aaron Rodgers. Do I think they can develop a strength in their offense when you have guys like Forte and a powerful offensive line in a movable quarterback like Jay? I do think that you can make your team get into the competitiveness of the division, but it's right now it's all about Aaron Rodgers. However, you don't have the luxuries these days of saying that I'm on a 5-year, 3-year program because of free agency and the fluctuation of personnel. They want you got to be competitive, and that's what your fan base wants. Compete every year.
Orland Park, John, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, John.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom, I just wanted to know, like, on the field, who's going to be, like, the vocal leader of this defense with so many new faces? I mean, I know you got Jared Allen, but this is probably his last year in Chicago. And, you know, the talent-wise, you know, maybe McPhee, but he's new. You know, everybody's new. So who's going to step up and be a role model on this defense this year?
You know, John, everybody's new. But I think if there's a guy out there like Pernell McPhee that wants to be associated to the position that comes with a great historic value, not only where he came from, but where he's coming to, I think he can go to immediate leader in the locker room. And to me, if I was on the Bears team, even if I was on offense, and the Bears went out and signed a guy who was willing to put himself out there in a leadership role by example, but also in a vocal kind of way that spills over to the rest of the team, I'm all for it, because I think when the coaches go into OTAs and they go into meetings and they are in the field, they're going to be looking for that standout personality who they believe that they can help build and that part of it. But from what I like in front of the cameras and everything, Pernell McPhee would be one of my initial go-to guys. But I like Kyle Fuller, and I would always trust him as being a future leader on this football team.
And Antrell Roll was considered a big-time leader with the New York Giants.
Yes.
In their locker room. Back to the phones we go at 312-644-6767. At stake, a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller, depending on what you ask Tom Thayer. Mick in Naperville, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Mick. Hey, Tom. Question, you guys were talking a little bit earlier about, you know, the lack of consistency at the offensive coordinator position, how it kind of hindered Cutler. Adam Gase, probably better than even chance that he'll be gone after this year, head coach somewhere else. The new quarterback coach, what's his name, Loggins?
Yes.
Do you think he has what it takes to step in and be the new offensive coordinator if Gase were to leave?
You know, that's why these guys are in their coaching. That's why they're in the coaching positions, because they want to move up the ranks. I think you can judge a new coach's personality about what his ultimate desires are. And if he is here position coaching at this level, then I would really imagine that that would be the hopes and dreams of all these guys at this level. But I still think it's too early. It's got to be a wait-and-see scenario. And if Adam Gase did come in here and within a short amount of time developed a real spark-filled offense, he is going to be immediately, you know, on a list for candidates of head coach of the future.
Our final few contestants, I should say, Quad Cities. Paul, you are on Bears All Access. Ask Tom.
Hey, Paul.
Hi. This isn't about the Bears, but I was just wondering which team you thought would be the best fit for Marcus Mariota.
Ooh. You know, to me, I'm kind of infatuated with the whole relationship between the Philadelphia Eagles and Mariota. And I have had a chance to be out and talk to some other quarterback evaluating personnel at an NFL level, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of excitement for him outside if he goes to the best program suited for him.
You know, I'm going to ask this to Jim after we're done with this segment, but could we be seeing an Aaron Rodgers-like drop in the first round for someone like Mariota, or does – Do people trade up to try and get him? You know, the few teams that think that he can make a difference for them. We'll ask Jim that in just a little bit. Final contestant, though, for Ask Tom, Cal City. Let's say hi to Pat. You are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Pat.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. I met you and met Hilgi. I've met several ex-players who, after they've quit football, have lost like 100 pounds. How easy is that to do, and how do you go about doing that when you quit football?
Unfortunately, at this stage in my life, as it gets sore, I'm learning how to gain it back. But I think that's one of the unique things about being an offensive lineman is your whole life you tried to be as big as you possibly could, get bigger and stronger every off season going into the season. And when you do retire, it's kind of a relief because you're not throwing or moving around the weights that to get into competitive NFL frame of mind, and everything is so much less that you kind of shrink just by the process of not being around the weight room as much as you were, or you have to be as an active player. I think the dedication to the off season is as hard as what you have to have during the season.
All right, time to pick a winner. Jim, who gets that gift certificate to Sports Authority?
All great questions, but I'm going to go with number one. Robert from Midway asking about the fullbacks coming out in the draft, and Tom's right, don't have to draft them high. Jalston Fowler from Alabama, he's a hammerhead, 5'11", 254 pounds. Tyler Varga is interesting out of Yale. Because he was a tailback there, but a lot of people will probably put him at the fullback position because he can catch a lot of passes too, say to the flat. He's about 222 pounds. Final guy, Connor Neighbors from LSU. Here's another guy that'll bow you up. 5'10", 242 pounds. All those guys will probably be 5th, 6th, 7th round draft picks is where they'll probably go. That'll help out the run game, though.
Congratulations to Robert from Midway on winning the gift certificate to Sports Authority. Hey, real quick, before we hit the break, Jim, Mariota, is he going to drop?
I personally don't think. I think he's still in the mix to be number one taken overall. And I brought it up numerous times because when you look at their new offensive coordinator, Dirk Cutter, Mark Helfrich, who coaches out at Oregon, that was his OC at Arizona State. I think they can marry an offense that'll work for Mariota, even if Tampa takes him at number one. Then the question is, where does Jameis Winston fall to?
Ooh.
Just throwing it out there.
Throwing a curveball here.
Ponder during the commercial.
All right, we'll come back. We'll break that down. Jim, with a very interesting question. Bears All Access with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. We roll on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside former Bears quarterback Jim Miller and 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. So as we were getting ready to take the commercial break in our last segment, Jim brought up an interesting point that he thinks because of the background of the current Buccaneers offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter and current Oregon head coach Mark Helfrich, that there's a possibility that perhaps Tampa Bay ends up taking Marcus Mariota. Although, by all indications, Jim, you would think that Jameis Winston is that number one pick. I mean, we've seen him already go to the Tampa Bay facility earlier than you would see number one overall picks go. And, you know, Lovie was front and center with Jameis Winston at his pro day earlier this week. That would be a major surprise if the Buccaneers reversed course and went with Mariota.
Well, I think everybody just, everybody assumes that Jameis is going to be the number one overall pick. And what's Lovie Smith and the Bucs going to say? They're going to say, yeah, we're comfortable with Jameis Winston. I mean, what if they even have the ability to trade down? Say a team is coveting Leonard Williams, who is the best player in this draft, the D tackle out of USC. You know, can Tampa trade down, whether it's a spot or two, and still end up with Jameis Winston? That's a possibility. So, you know, here's what I think. They've done their due diligence on both guys. They've met with both Mariota and Jameis Winston. They're holding it tight to the vest. They're going to say that he's comfortable. I do think from a PR standpoint, there is going to be the video that's come on out about from Jameis Winston's accuser. Will that put pressure in terms of the PR spin of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I do think that factors in as well. Plus, I do think this about Marcus Mariota. He has more upside because he's more athletic than Jameis Winston. The better pure passer is Jameis. The better athlete with upside is Mariota. So that's a decision that they'll have to factor in as well.
You know, Jim, our second-to-last caller was Paul from Quad Cities, and he was asking, what team is best fit for Mariota? And to me, I always think of the Philly team. But outside of the guy being hired, Dirk Cutter being hired in Tampa, in the Philly system, is there a third surprise system out there that could be as right for Marcus Mariota as – because I think Jameis Winston has talent – but is there a third system out there that Mariota could be, you know, the right, helpful component?
Well, let's use the Bears as an example at 7. Let's say if Mariota hypothetically were to fall to the Bears, should the Bears be interested? Of course they would. Adam Gase has switched gears in a heartbeat. He ran the offense with Tim Tebow. That's a spread option attack. He had no problems, and they actually made the playoffs that year. So they have the ingenuity to do it right there. I think Chan Gailey, the offensive coordinator of the New York Jets. The Jets have the 6th pick in the draft. Would they be interested? Already Todd Bowles today, their head coach, said, yes, we want to add more competition at the quarterback spot. So there's plenty of teams. You look at the Rams, they're in the top 10 in terms of their pick. They're number 10. Would they be interested? They've had a lot of injury history at the quarterback spot. Haven't found an answer. Yes, they did trade for Nick Foles. But would they be interested in Mariota? And I think all those possibilities should be kicked around a little bit.
Forget about needs right now and measurables and all that kind of stuff. If you just go by best player available, we have seen the Bears linked at number 7 overall to the following names. Everybody from Danny Shelton, the big defensive tackle out of Washington, Mariota, the Heisman winner. We've seen both talented wide receivers, Kevin White out of West Virginia, Amari Cooper out of Alabama, both linked to the Bears. We've seen a bunch of outside backers linked to the Bears, everyone from Vic Beasley of Clemson. Some people had Randy Gregory out of Nebraska going to the Bears at 7 overall. If you're going just pure best player available at 7 out of those names, who do the Bears take?
Best player is interesting because I interviewed Kevin White from West Virginia today, and I like Cooper too, the wide receiver from Alabama. Those guys are going to be good players. Vic Beasley would be interesting because you think about all the backers the Bears have signed. Vic Beasley, I think, is an absolute stud in what he's going to be able to do in the NFL. Gregory, because of the positive test at the – I think he drops, and he's going to drop significantly.
And we talked earlier about cornerback, and there's the guy out of Michigan State, Trey Waynes, who –
Love that pick as well. Love it.
You know, to me, if you look at the defensive tackle position, you look at Dunn, Ferguson, Ratliff, and Sutton, if you look at 3-4 defense, which sometimes you like in size, they may already be undersized at an inside nose guard position. And, man, there's been a lot of talk of Danny Shelton since the very beginning. So I don't think that's a name you can ever lose track of, because if you need a centerpiece for a 34 defense, it is that, you know, heavily duty, respected nose tackle that every single play is going to have two blockers initially assigned to them before they go to the second level, and that may give that linebacker second level a faster response to the play.
One more segment to go. We'll remember one of the key components to the 85 Bears defense next. Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, Zach Zaidman with you on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our final few moments here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Alongside Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Former Bears defensive backs coach Jim LaRue passed away. He died at the age of 89, and he was the defensive backs coach, Tom, for your championship 1985 Bears. Can you tell us a little bit about what Jim LaRue brought to that team?
You know, he was a soft-spoken guy with a hard-speaking defensive coordinator, and I think he was a great calming voice for the DBs and a lot of the defensive players when you had the brashness of Buddy Ryan, and I think they complemented each other really well. And Jim LaRue used to tell his defensive backs, he always used to say, if the ball's in the air, it ought to be ours. So that was his big motto for every defensive back that went out there and had an opportunity to play for him, and then instrumental in the 46 defense and the positioning of the safeties and everything. He had a great NFL background, and he was a really well-respected guy on that staff and by all the players, because he had relationships with every position, not only the defensive backs.
Guys, this was a great show. Thank you very much, Jim. Tom, we'll see you next week.
All right, sounds good.
Go Bears.
Looking forward to it.
Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.